Well, good morning. It is the 21st day of May in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin today consecrating ourselves before the Lord. Let's locate ourselves in the presence of God. Okay, He's present, but we've got to become present to His presence. We're going to draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Why We Don't Interpret Scripture by Culture. Our text is Acts chapter 15, verses 12 to 21. Hear now the word of the Lord. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul, telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, he said, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, after this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild. And I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things, things known from long ago. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now consider this, and let me warn you as I launch in here. We're jumping into the deep end today. This is going to probably feel controversial to some, and I don't apologize for that, although I do empathize with the difficulty that some will feel. And I just ask you to bear with me and stay with me and don't just quickly react and judge and make snap decisions to unsubscribe. We're on a journey here. It's tempting to interpret Scripture according to the shifting tides of culture. It has been said one can use the Bible to justify virtually anything under the sun. To an extent, I suppose this is possible in many cases. History offers ample evidence of the misappropriation of Scripture to justify such things as slavery and the oppression of women. We will do well to always remember Jesus' encounter with Satan in the wilderness when it became apparent that Satan also reads and interprets Scripture. The Bible must be handled with great care and extreme humility. Yes, there is a sense in which anyone can read it and understand its basic message. However, in many cases, it can be exceedingly complex and difficult to understand. The church has a long-tested and trusted understanding of the Bible. We generally refer to this as orthodoxy. Through the centuries, orthodoxy has met many fierce challenges. At times, it has taken centuries to resolve. The church is in the throes of another such controversy. On the surface, the controversy seems to be about human sexuality and gender. The bigger issue at stake, however, comes with how the Bible is read, understood, and appropriated. Though it is beyond the scope of a post like this to delve into the complexities at hand, I will offer this counsel. Many new and at times novel readings of Scripture will emerge in support of changing what the church has always held to be orthodoxy. Some of these readings will seem plausible on the face of them. Other readings and ways of reading will feel like an exercise in biblical gymnastics to get there. Predictable appeals will be made to the analogies of the Bible and slavery and the oppression of women, as though they were on point in the present scenario. Be on your guard. This movement for change will be sincerely advanced in the name of love and inclusivity. However, it moves with the force of power according to the zeitgeist of the present age. It will become painfully untenable to disagree with the forces at work for change. The rhetoric of being on the right or wrong side of history will get loud. While you may be sympathetic or open to the voices for change, be exceedingly careful before signing on the dotted line of the petition to set aside well more than 20 centuries of the considered judgment of Scripture and the teaching of the church. So why do I bring this up today? Because Acts 15 will undoubtedly be appealed to as setting an early precedent for departing from the established orthodoxy of the people of God. Look more closely, though, and you see James making an appeal to interpret Scripture, not by culture, but by Scripture. Notice how he cites the prophet's explicit words concerning the inclusion of the Gentiles in the church. Scripture cannot be interpreted by culture or whatever the church wishes to baptize and bless about culture. Scripture must be interpreted primarily by Scripture. The church is being asked, and in places led, to place Scripture on par with and interpreted according to human reason and by human experience, or by the enlightened viewpoints of our time. This cannot be allowed to stand. While reason, tradition, and experience cannot help but influence our understanding, the Word of God must remain unrivaled in its governing authority. We will remain wide open to be corrected or rebuked by Scripture, and even to be proven wrong in our understanding of Scripture, but only in the clear light of Scripture. This is not about being right. Trust me. It would be far easier to just be proven wrong. This is about holy love for God, His Word, and His people. Here at the midpoint of the Acts of the Apostles, the young church is making a hard decision. They are departing from long-established practice. Here's the bottom line. They are doing so because of longer-established truth. They are standing firmly and squarely on the Word of God. I'll make some comments in today's podcast afterward about the challenge of living in a context where the laws of the land and the standards of Scripture diverge from one another. The prayer. And let's sing it today. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. Our journal prompts today. Will you take a humble and grace-filled stand on the Word of God, come what may? Or do you find yourself slowly succumbing to societal pressures and being pressed to find your place on the cultural adoption curve? And have you found a way of affirming people, even in their sin, without accepting or affirming sin? For our hymn today, we're going to sing number 45. I chose it because of the great sort of refrain in there that says, grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour and these days. That's a great hymn. God of grace and God of glory, number 45 in our seedbed hymnal. Our great Redeemer's praise. Let's sing all three verses. God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Crown thine ancient church's story. Bring her bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this hour. Lo, the hosts of evil round us scorn thy Christ, assail his ways. Fears and doubts too long have bound us. Free our hearts to faith and praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. For the living of these days. Set our feet on lofty places, gird our lives that they may be armored with all Christ-like graces in the fight to set men free. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage that we fail not man nor thee, that we fail not man nor thee. Yes, what a hymn. Wisdom and courage. Wisdom and courage. That's what we need. I told you we were jumping in the deep end. This is very challenging, this whole matter that we find ourselves in, at least in the, it's all over the world, but in the United States, I mean, we're feeling it for certain. This matter of gender and human sexuality. And it's amazing just how rapidly the culture has utterly shifted. Again, there's no need for being afraid. There's no need for, you know, hand-wringing. There's no need for people bashing. There's a need for wisdom and courage. There's a need for deep maturity in Christ. We are a people of one book, and we are ever trying to become better readers of the Scripture. We're not interpreting Scripture and reading Scripture according to the intellectual or ideological currents, the cultural tides of our time. We cannot set aside clear scriptural teaching because of the ever-changing, shifting tides of culture. You know, in Genesis 1, it says, He created us in the image of God, male and female. He created us. The image of God has its coherence in human beings and being created male and female. Those are the options. And when we encounter people, as we increasingly do, and are families in our communities, in our churches, who want to be some other gender, and they have found communities that have created entire frameworks around that, you know what? We don't have to reject them. We don't have to accept that framework, but we certainly don't have to. We don't need to, for God's sake, reject the people. The grace of God, friends, is extraordinary, and it's radical, and it's actually over acceptance of people just as they are, right? And it's entrusting them to God, who will work with them and walk with them. And people have to deal with God. We can't deal with God for people. God has to deal with people about where they are. We can accept them just as they are. I often think the grace of God is so radical that it's willing to risk being misunderstood as the affirmation of sin. And that's the last thing it is. But it goes so far in embracing and accepting people. And the same thing on the human sexuality front. We don't have to, and we can't, accept all of the divergent philosophies and ideologies and teachings about human sexuality that go contrary to the established reading of Scripture for thousands of years. But you know what? We must accept and love people. People don't change because they're rejected. They change because they've been loved and accepted. God always meets us where we are. He never leaves us as we are. But this is the kind of people I believe He's looking for in His church today. So much more could be said about that. This venue is just not really sophisticated enough and doesn't give us enough time. But I don't know. I felt led that we needed to ring the bell on it just slightly today. Let's not get up in arms. Let's put our faith and confidence in God. Let's stand on his word, and let's overextend ourselves in loving and accepting people. People who are different from us, people who believe different from us. We're not looking for a fight, friends. We're looking for a feast. I'll stop there. Again, bear with us. We're going on a journey. We're following Jesus. We're being filled by the Spirit. Get your seeds, guys. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.